B-Pod Studios.
Can mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
913-576-7610. We'll squeeze in some phone calls throughout the show today. John in KC is up first. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm not doing too well after last night. That's putting it lightly.
Too much fireball or just upset after the game?
No, just upset. You know, you look at Cleet Blakeman's crew, and they absolutely screwed us. And the play I'm talking about was this referee. I did a little research on him, Mike Sarge Riley. He was this guy who made the call on Brady on the Phantom roughing the passer call.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, I did a little more research on the guy. He has a history of screwing the Chiefs over. And, you know, I've heard a couple of radio interviews he's done. And let me tell you, he sucks even worse on the radio than he does interviewing. And after the game, the real troubling thing, guys.
Why is a referee doing interviews?
I see a photo of him at a Chinese restaurant, and he's downing these things called Saugus wings. And it was just disgusting. I'm so upset. I am so terribly upset.
John, wow.
Yeah.
If you're delving into...
I'm not buying anything that guy is selling about Saugus wings at a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, like...
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
Calhouns! Wow!
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Very kind of the Calhoun crew, led by Jimmy Stewart, the face of the organization, is Mike Sarge Riley. The Don is, of course, Andy Wong.
I mean, these Saugus wings look pretty good.
I mean, even people in Kansas City are drooling over it.
Sure.
I did a little research on him. Mike Sarge Riley.
That's right.
All right, so last night, and thank the gentleman very much for inviting Rich and I. But no offense to them, I'm not driving to Saugus to go to a Chinese restaurant.
I would have gone, but I couldn't.
But no, I was not going to do that. All right. So nonetheless, here, you know, you get in there and there's the whole gang. There's Billy.
It's basically Joe anyone Murray. Who's ever done headlines at the station was there. And then you had, of course, Joe Murray, one of our bankroll boys.
Yep.
Jim Murray.
Jim Murray was there as well. And sitting in the corner in the dark, one Jay Stu.
And then Jay Stu was asked twice if he would participate and talk to Nick. And at first he said no. And then Nick went back and he goes, are you sure? I'm not going to tape you anything. He goes, I don't trust you.
And then they waves him away.
And then he waved him away.
Correct.
Like, apparently, Jimmy was kind of sitting on his own, right, John? And he was...
Yeah, he was at the end of the table. I just happened to be lucky enough to be sitting at that end and watched as he gave audiences to other people who walked up.
So people would come up and...
people would come up, right.
So it really was like the
Jimmy
Godfather.
Didn't do any moving. Everyone came to Jimmy.
Yeah, you go to Jimmy at the
end. Jimmy didn't move much because he didn't have to move for nobody.
Nope. What do you want? Another order of wings? I may ask you a favor one day. That day may never come. Hear your wings. All right, so...
we have not spoken with Sarge since...
Yeah, so get off our backs. We haven't had Sarge on
But since the whole, like, John in Vegas thing and you know, the phone calls he was making all across the country saying, you know, Sarge sucks. We've not talked to him. And like, so, like, here's your chance, Nick. We want to find out what's going on with Sarge. Fred, I know you and I both love Sarge.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to get his opinion on things, check in on what was going down with the rest of the Calhoun crew.
Plus just the dynamics of the Calhoun crew and, you know, who's aiming to please and who's sitting back and just watching things develop.
Sure. So let's go to the tape. This is Nick talking to Sarge once he got to the big shindig yesterday.
Yeah, you got to. You need a passport to go from one room to the other. Hey, what's up, Nick? How are you?
How you doing?
He's got his arm on someone sitting down. Yeah, you need a passport to get to one room to the other. It's a big place. Hey, Nick, how you doing? Shake your hand.
All right.
Is he doing the double-handed shake?
No,
like the maitre d' shake?
No, because he just had his arm on one person. I'll tell you, this place is so big, you need a passport to get to place. Oh, Nicholas, hello. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, you need a passport to go from one room to the other. Hey, what's up, Nick? How are you?
How you doing?
I'm living the dream, baby.
Can we use this for Dorea?
Yeah, go. Andy said it was okay, so go ahead if you want.
So you got to ask the Don.
Yeah, I have to ask the Don. Always ask the Don.
Because usually there's no cameras or phones allowed at Kowloon.
Right, it's like the Masons. Everything's very secret behind closed doors.
You have to give your phone to the maitre d'.
What happened to Kowloon stays at the Kowloon.
Right.
I just think if he said Andy said it was okay. Hey, you want free publicity? Nah. Like, why would Andy have anything to do with it? We don't need his permission.
So you have to ask Andy Wong if it was okay to record in the Kowloon.
His house, his rules.
So
the House of Wong.
Tell everybody why we're all at the Kowloon tonight.
Well, it's, post holiday party for, the on-air and production staff. So we're here having a good time, living the dream, and just enjoying ourselves. Camaraderie with everyone.
Okay, so who's here?
We got the Diet Soda aficionado, Marshall Hook. Marshall, say hi.
Don't tell me what to do.
What an old man.
That's just the beginning. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, Marshall Hook right there. He's like the...
No, I wasn't having it.
He's
last
like
night.
The older guy, like in The Godfather. He's like the guy that lived in Florida.
Yeah.
Marshall does not suffer fools.
No, that's just a warm up for later, Fred.
He's just like, Sarge, shut up.
Yeah.
Let me eat.
What an old man. We got the Birdman over there.
So pass me a Sardis ring, please.
And Super Sean Silver.
Okay.
You know, if you're planning a bar mitzvah, Mike Sarge Riley can take care of you in that department.
Yeah.
He's a man for hire.
We'll hook him up.
Why is that? What do you do on the side?
Yeah, the DJ work and a little introduction, so we'll hook you up.
Everybody's got a hustle.
Yeah, we'll take it
up. Side hustle.
Everything he does is on the side. The guy doesn't actually have a job. He doesn't have a job.
A reminder, this is before the planned interview about Sarge.
Yeah, so this is Hook just saying.
This is just Hook riffing.
You're pissing me off already, Sarge. Stop. Everything he does is a side hustle. He doesn't have a real job, is that what he said?
Oh, man.
Yeah. he's lucky he didn't get assassinated.
Hook just going for the jugular.
I wonder if James Stewart was in the corner going, keep an eye on that guy. He's got a loud mouth.
Or maybe this was, he ordered the code red. Maybe this is on James.
Knock him down a peg. He's getting a little too big. Too big for his britches. So Jimmy was visibly upset.
No, he wasn't visibly upset. You see, the thing is, Jimmy's seen this all before. He's like, let's go. Let's Sarge it up and be all Sarge. I'm going to sit over here in the corner and take an audience with people who want to talk to me.
But he is the alpha dog there.
Jimmy? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
No question.
Front or
single
a back,
job is
a side job. There is no one job. They're
this
all
is,
side jobs.
This is a business hook. You want to work for me? Come work for the good side.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Who else is...
My goodness. So everyone's so rude.
This is in the middle. People enjoying themselves, having a good time.
Just Nick, just show of hands. If there was a power struggle between Marshall Hook and Sarge within the Kowloon crew, and one had to be forever ejected and no longer led back, would it be Marshall or would it be Sarge?
I don't even care what his opinion is. I know what it is.
It's Marshall. I think Marshall gets picked over Sarge.
I disagree.
No, I completely disagree with that. It's
the wrestling.
It's the love of wrestling, which Marshall does not like.
I mean, the man takes trips with the Wong father.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's
a good
point. Wrestling
good
is
point.
The tie that binds.
Good point.
I mean, come on. I don't think Marshall should be this rude. He's just riding his coattails.
Shut your mouth.
Who else is supposed to be coming tonight?
Let's see. Well, Rich was supposed to be, but he bagged out. Fred, did you ever hear back from Fred? He doesn't leave the vicinity within a matter of 2 miles from his house. He's cheap. Cheap to pay the gas money.
It's been a long time since you've been on the show, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Sure. My name's been out there.
Your name?
Yeah, you guys take advantage of me. I'm not stupid.
We did take advantage.
Oh, yeah, for rating. Sure, go ahead.
Okay, what is he talking about?
I don't know.
No, seriously.
It's the Sarge sucks thing. He's saying we're taking advantage of him.
We didn't start that.
Boosting the ratings of the show by constantly hammering that. That's his opinion.
Okay. So has he been drinking?
Nick, I didn't see it. I was at the other end of the table.
Because,
I didn't see it.
Because that doesn't... I mean, he is really feeling good. Like, he is this, like, he's like telling Marshall to shut his mouth and he can come work for him. He's saying that they've been taking advantage of us.
Let's hear
I won't
him out.
Leave a, I won't leave a 2 mile radius of my house, which is probably true. All right, here we go.
How did we take advantage of
it? Hey, don't worry about it. That's a story for another day, but continue.
What do you think of John from Vegas?
Who?
John from Vegas.
I don't know him.
You don't know him?
Nope.
Act like you don't know who he is.
You know who he is. Don't know him.
He made your ass famous on Kansas City radio.
No, that wasn't even him. Nick Coleman was someone else.
That wasn't
him. Yeah, somebody else. Yeah,
really?
He made your name famous.
Hold on. You just said you don't know him.
You don't know him.
But then when that was brought up, you said that wasn't him. So if it wasn't him,
because I was told
that you don't know.
Because I was told that it wasn't him. No, Nick Jamelli was telling me someone calling in with the surname of that, so it's not him.
Wait, is John from Vegas going to be here now?
Well, tell him to show his face. I mean, he was in prison, right? He's making a daily call from prison every day? Is that what he's doing? It was funny for 5 minutes. Now it's not. It's like, stop all your head, dude.
But it doesn't bother you.
No.
Yeah, he's over it.
I just like,
about it at all.
Who are you talking about?
He is
the guy
like,
who made you famous in Kansas City. That wasn't him in Kansas City.
This is one of those things like Eddie Money. He like we joke around that they're like the mob. He's acting like he's in the mafia. I mean, he's holding court like he's in the mafia. This is not how he acts.
No.
If he acted like this all the time, no one would like him. All right, well, we got to talk to Mike Gorman, which is more important than this, but we will revisit this.
We will, because when we come back after Gorman, Marshall loses it.
Yep.
Marshall's had enough.
I was there
to the point where he goes,
glorious.
Nick, get over here and press record.
Oh, it was great. Like, Sarge is just popping food in his mouth and going, oh.
Who's he talking about?
I don't know who he's talking about. I mean, come on. Now, was he wearing a tie and, like, afterwards, like, it was all loosened and he was like, all right. Sarge is something else. I got no idea what he's talking about. And then Jay Stu said he didn't trust. What's going on over there? All right. Like, what's going on over there?
Dude, I don't know. All I know is that Marshall Hook is the voice of reason in all of this.
Well, God bless Marshall Hook.
And then Ted Johnson just crushing Saugus Wings while this is going on.
Well, you know they had to be enamored that Ted Johnson was there.
It was great. I just love how he was just like, hey, nice to meet you. Where's the food?
All right. We will talk to Mike Gorman in just a moment.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Kyrie. Yeah, you want to have to go in just so you can see the pass again. Taken by Miami as Boston's gone on a 9-0 run to open up the second half.
95 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman is the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. And he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Gorman, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
I need your expert opinion, Mike Gorman. Was Mark Bertrand asleep or looking at his phone?
He was asleep. No question about it.
He's adamant that he was not.
Yeah, he was asleep. That's why I said don't let him fall. Could be a major problem.
All I know is that I went out, I was watching the game, and I went out to walk my dog. And when I got back in, I looked down at my notifications, and I had like 30 people who had tweeted me that video and that photo of you guys talking about Mark Bertrand. And then, of course, his tweet saying, what, you know, WTF, NBC Sports Boston. I was not sleeping. And to that I say, well, your eyes are lying then. Yeah, then something's just not computing because your eyes were shut, my man.
They were shut. There's no question about that.
I mean, he had worked like 24 hours.
Yeah,
there's
no shame
there's
in
no
that.
Shame in falling asleep. I'd be proud of myself that I fell asleep in that big a place. I can't sleep on a train, a plane. I can't sleep in a car. It's almost superhuman.
To be able to sleep in front of 18,000 people?
Yes.
I guess you're all right. Superhuman. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little concerning. I mean, oh, hey, these 18,000 people, I'll just come nod off. Like, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, well, he wasn't. He was in some really good seats too. I mean, it wasn't like he was up in the 300 somewhere and nobody could notice. I mean, he was right on the corner of the court, I believe.
Yeah, if you're a player, there's probably a tendency to go, all right, you're going to sleep in the front row, boom, and just kind of toss him an errant pass during the timeout.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Marcus Smart to get you were sleeping on his job, on his watch.
No, without a doubt. Well, this has been a fun several days. I mean, Kyrie Irving has just gone, he's gotten to the point where it now just looks like he's peacocking. I mean, he's making plays that seem like right out of the Uncle Drew movie, like back, like between the legs behind him to Marcus Smart for a three, these behind-the-back passes. There's a new level of confidence that he seems to have almost ever since the LeBron James phone call. Do you agree?
Well, I don't know what the LeBron James phone call had anything to do with it. I agree with you that he's playing at a higher level than he's played before, maybe arguably having his best year as a pro. And as a play-by-play guy, he's just a lot of fun to be able to call what he does on, or to attempt to call what he does on the court, because every time it's something new. I don't know if you guys caught, Scal told me the other night that he was talking to somebody who's close with Kyrie, and Kyrie drives people crazy when he comes to over their house or whatever, because he brings a basketball with him and he just dribbles it all the time. And when he's in his house, he's, whether he's walking up and down stairs, whether he's always got a basketball in his hand, he's always dribbling it. So for kids out there, if you want to handle like Kyrie's, I guess that's where you start, because he certainly has the best handle I've ever seen. So much so to the point that if you watch when he goes into his little dance, into his little routine there, if you look at the opposition players, the other five cool guys on the court, beside the guy who's hopelessly trying to cover Kyrie, they all turn and watch. It's that good what he does, and it's that unique what he does. He and James Harden are probably the two most unique players in the league right now.
And you every day get to witness that kind of weird warm up he does, as far as the strange angle shots he does. For the people who haven't seen that, can you kind of describe that for the people who have not seen it? Because it is weird.
Yeah, he's out there about, they open the doors, I think, they open the doors at 6:30 if the game's at 7:30. So he's probably out there around 5:30 when there's nobody in the building. And he's practicing these little kind of floaters, throwing them up high with the left hand off the glass. And, you know, these impossible angles he hits on the baseline, these little 15-foot jump shots that go over the side of the glass. Again, the stuff that you see in the game that you go, how did he ever come up with that? If you were in the building 3 hours ago, you know exactly how he came up with it, because he took that shot 50 times before he was satisfied with it. He's a great offensive player. I mean, we've had a lot of great offensive players in this town, from Bird to Pierce to now him. I mean, he's remarkable offensively. He can score whenever he wants. And you know, he drives, he layups off the glass, and, you know, other guys try that, and the shots get rejected by two or three guys. He tries it, and somehow he gets through the crowd. And, he just has a remarkable sense of timing. Again, they're very easy layups, it looks like, off the glass. Then you say, how did he get there? Well, he blew by three different people and confused the other two.
It almost seems like at the beginning of games, or the first three quarters, he's allowing the other players to be part of it. And then if for some reason the score gets close, like it did the other night where they're up by 22 and all of a sudden they're down, they're up by five, he just says, all right, I got this, and I'll finish this. I'll take over. You know, I'm done. I want to go home. And it seems like he can just do that at will now.
Yes, he can, and he does that pretty much on a nightly basis, I think. I think if he came out at the beginning of the game and decided he was going to play for all 48 minutes offensive-minded like he does now in the fourth quarter, he'd be a 35-point-a-game guy, which we haven't had in the league in a long time. But he can score that easily. But you're right. During the first half especially, he's more content on trying to get people involved and make sure they get shots. And then he kind of surveys the situation late in the third quarter, and either if they're ahead, he just continues doing that. If they're not, he changes the scene. Again, he's pretty much unstoppable. He and Harden are the two players I think of in the league you just hope they miss.
All right, so how much of the success the last several games do you think has to do with, because, I mean, Aaron Baines being back instantly made a difference. I got to think that when you take a look at their play and how it's kind of, even defensively, has gone up to another level. He had that double block the other night. Actually, it was a block, and then he just kind of took the hit.
Yep.
He kind of changes the dynamic now that he's back, correct?
There's no question about it. And you understand why he was ranked number one in terms of defensive rating for a good part of last year. He changes the whole chemistry of the team in the middle. He's he provides toughness. And you know, toughness is a tough thing to get out of players. And Marcus has it. Marcus Smart has it. And Marcus Morris has it. And Baines has it. And that is that they, if you come into the lane, you're going to pay for it one way or the other. And yeah, Baines is now that he's shooting threes, he's shooting with some confidence.
Yeah.
He's a major factor for this team. I don't think people understood how important he was until he was gone for a while. But he's a major factor. They don't win or they don't go deep into the playoffs without Baines being healthy.
All right, Mike, every time you're on, I ask you this question, so I'll ask you it again. Have the Celtics okay. figured it out this time, or is it a factor of a lot of home games against beatable opponents?
It's a combination of both, but I think they're closer to figuring it out. We're going to find out after the All-Star break when they play at Milwaukee and at Toronto, two of the first three games they play after the All-Star break. They do have a tendency, even though they're beating the teams now, as you say, that they should be, they do have a tendency to play to the level of the competition. They can play Toronto on one night and beat Toronto and Boston, and then on the next night play Memphis and be life or death with Memphis. So they've got to become a team that is beats the teams that they're supposed to beat and beats them handily. There was a stat, I probably told you guys about this before, but there was a stat that was valid about 2 weeks ago when Dick Light gave it to me, that in the last 49 games against teams 500 or less, Toronto was 47-2. So that's what you got to do. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat and then take your chances against the team. The teams are challenging you or as good as you are. The Celtics are getting closer to that now and have a chance against Cleveland tonight. I mean, they should just take care of business tonight. And then Saturday night will be very interesting when Golden State comes in.
How much does that game matter, really?
The Golden State game?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter a whole lot in terms of, it matters one game in the standings, but in terms of pride, in terms of where are you in the mix, you know, because they only see them twice a year, I think it's a big game. And because Boston has had great luck, as you said, luck, they played really well and were rewarded for it by winning at Golden State a couple of times in the last 2 or 3 years, Golden State comes in here ready to play. This is just not another road game for them. So
yeah.
Saturday night will be a lot of fun. Saturday night has the potential to be the best game of the year, which up until this point was the Toronto game, I thought.
Oh, I think it's going to be huge because like the Toronto game, you are going to see, because, I mean, they've had the big fault of not getting up for lesser teams. Every single player is going to be playing at their best. And you hopefully not, like mm-hmm. the young guys, you hope they don't press. But either way, you're going to see Kyrie Irving do something truly special because, like you said, if he played all four quarters like he did that fourth quarter, you might see something ridiculous. And I have a feeling that he might have to at least play two quarters in fourth quarter mode if they're going to be playing the Warriors.
Yeah, I think he is going to have to, too. And it'll be interesting to see how many people Brad plays. You know, it's just, the other night some people were sitting around the garden. The good news is the Celtics are all healthy again. And the bad news is the Celtics are all healthy again. Because now they've got to deal with dividing up 48 as many ways as he can to keep everybody happy and to get other people's shots. That's one of the things that Kyrie has done, as you say, Rich, especially in the first two or three quarters of the game, is he involves other people and gets other people's shots so that they're not walking off the court at the end of the game saying, how come I only got 8 shots instead of 12 or 15? He's very good at making sure guys stay happy, at least for the first half.
How much is the Jonas Jerebko revenge factor going to play into this game?
Huge. I think it's huge. It's very astute of you to pick that up, too. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players with the Celtics, by the way.
Why? Because he was just...
Of all time?
He's in my top 10, yeah.
Jonas Jerebko's wow. in your top 10 okay. favorite Celtics players?
No.
By personality.
Celtics players in terms of like going out to dinner with somebody? Yeah.
Even that surprises me. Now, why? What was so special about Jonas Jerebko?
Oh, he's got a great personality. He's a bright kid. He reads. He can talk about a variety of subjects. He bought a team in that, I don't know what you call it.
Video game league, right?
Video
yes,
game league.
Yeah,
the Renegades. The yep. Renegades. That's
actually
his team.
Very smart.
He's just an eclectic young man. I thoroughly enjoy being around him.
You want to get a book to read?
Yeah, what do you got?
It's a little something called, it's got Fabio on the cover, no. it's The Coddling of the American Mind, How Good Intentions and Bad Ideas Are Setting Up a Generation for Failure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That came from out of nowhere. That sounds very good.
Yeah, I told Danny Ainge about it too. I'm not kidding. It's a very good book. Very interesting.
Hey, you've read it.
I'm in the process of reading.
He read a review of it.
He's so shocked that you would actually read something like this.
You bought it and you put it next to your bed.
I'll have you know, sir, I read on average, I would say, 30 to 40 books a year. So,
do you really? Fiction and nonfiction or both?
The vast majority.
You can't count motivational books.
Well, yeah, you know me. I've got stacks of them. The vast majority is nonfiction.
So you read fiction, you read nonfiction, what do you read?
Vast majority nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
And there's no way I read 40 books, but I would say the number
sounded good.
It's the number's more around 30. I'm just telling you, I'm recommending the book for you.
All right. Can you, you want to repeat that one more time so I can write it down?
Yeah, I will do that.
What's your cover? What's the name? Or send me a text maybe with...
I'll send you a text.
All right.
Cool. Okay.
All right. I'll read that. I'll take that on the road with me.
Yeah, please.
That I look impressive in a plane. People walk by and say, geez, Gorman's got a book. Wow.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. It's not one of those tawdry romance ones either.
That's right. That's Fabio on the cover or anything. Yeah, I gotcha.
All right. Mike Gorman, thank you so much for the time. And look forward to talking to you later.
All right. See you later.
All right. See you, man. They have to absolutely just destroy Cleveland tonight. I need to see that. I need to see them beat them by 15-20.
That was the last game I did. It was at home against Cleveland right before Thanksgiving. And that Cavaliers team doesn't care. There are guys who care. Tristan Thompson cares. But there are very few guys on that team. Those are guys that are fighting for their lives so they don't have to like stand out on street corners.
They're more likely going to lose by single digits or possibly win against Golden State. But that it would mean less to me about this team than them like going and just destroying Cleveland. You have to beat awful teams, and you have to absolutely punish them.
I think
that's the mindset you need.
You haven't looked at the Cleveland roster. I don't care if the Celtics don't care.
They are garbage.
Yeah, they're not good.
They do have the heart of rock and roll there, though.
Still beaten.
Mm-hmm. In Cleveland.
Dude, from what I've seen, I believe it.
Detroit.
Ooh, heart of rock and roll.
That band was popular.
Yep. Back to the Future soundtrack was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fine. But that's got a chorus and everything else. Yeah,
don't take money. That's an okay song.
That's a good song.
Yeah. Saw them in concert, boys. Good
no show. Kidding. Really? That's a shocker.
Oh, yeah. Great concert.
They say the hotter in Cleveland. Detroit.
Yeah.
Hotter rock and roll.
Yeah.
No place that I'd rather be.
Tim from the Dropkick Murphys at the concert.
Tim from the Dropkick Murphys is very good friends with Huey Lewis.
Yes, I found that out afterwards. That's right.
He's very good friends with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see John snapping his fingers politely in the crowd.
I want a new drug.
I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Headbang.
That's right.
Yeah, Tim Brennan from the Dropkick Murphys is very good friends with Huey Lewis and Bruce Springsteen. I'll have you know. We will have the headlines when we come back. Rich, the tunes, please.
I don't have it right available.
Okay.
Get to hear Marshall Hook coming up.
Marshall Hook, and we can hear more of the Calhoun crew. It might not be interesting to anyone out there, but I find it fascinating. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Calhouns. Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, and be like Marshall Hook and watch us every morning. Visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub, or get the Twitch app on your mobile device and search for the Sports Hub. You can watch our show live.
You can see us, and we're nice and bright now. We have all the lights on.
Oh, goody.
So, every furrowed brow, every
fantastic
crack and wrinkle.
All right, well, there's a Kowloon crew. Kowloon is a big Chinese restaurant in Saugus that is owned by the Wong family, and Andy Wong has developed a friendship for a mutual love of wrestling with James Stewart and Sarge. Mm-hmm. They take vacations together. You'll throw in a Joe Murray into the pile.
Yep.
And it's an interesting dynamic because it is almost like the mafioso. Everything's on the house. And last night, James Stewart refused to talk to Nick. He just said he didn't trust him. And then
So Sarge is kind of the face of the organization at these things. And you can tell that by the way he talks and behaves. So this is, we already played some of this, but this is briefly a little bit of what we've already heard.
We have not talked to Sarge since, you know, the end of the year when, you know, John from Vegas was doing his thing and calling all the different stations with his Sarge Sucks stuff. So we just kind of wanted to go, hey, you know, what do you think about all this stuff and what his opinion was? And here's how it all went down.
What do you think of John from Vegas?
Who?
John from Vegas.
I don't know him.
You don't know him?
Nope.
Act like you don't know who he is.
You know who he is. Don't know him.
He made your ass famous on Kansas City radio.
No, that wasn't even him. Nick Coleman was someone else.
That wasn't
him. Yeah, somebody else. Yeah,
really?
He made your name famous.
Hold on. You just said you don't know him.
You don't know him.
But then when that was brought up, you said that wasn't him. So if it wasn't him,
because I was told
that you don't know.
Because I was told that it wasn't him. No, Nick Jamelli was telling me someone calling in with the surname of that, so it's not him.
Wait, is John from Vegas going to be here now?
Is he going
down? Well, tell him to show his face. I mean, he was in prison, right? He's making a daily call from prison every day? Is that what he's doing?
Touche. Score one for the Sarge man. Like, if you show your face at the loon, and all Sarge has to do is snap.
Oh, right.
Yeah. To Jimmy,
yeah.
And Jimmy just nods his head, and then it's just an all-out attack.
And all of a sudden, the captain jumps in front of all of them with nunchucks.
I don't know what the captain's doing.
It was funny for 5 minutes. Now it's not. It's like, stop all your head, dude.
But it doesn't bother you.
No.
How does one join the Kowloon crew?
Well, Marshall had quite the initiation.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So there was an initiation process to joining the Kowloon crew?
I believe I have been eating at the Kowloon since before the Kowloon crew existed.
I've been around here since 92. Since I was a 7-year-old lad. But yeah, we're probably the same.
There was no Kowloon crew.
You're right.
92, unless you were a very, very nerdy 7-year-old, which.
Yeah, I mean, I probably was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still enjoy wrestling, so, you know, a lot of people do call me
nerds. So I'm not really sure how.
By the way, follow
that. The Kowloon crew, and I'm not necessarily sure I'm going to wear that moniker, but.
Speaking of wrestling, follow our Twitter account at WrestleCast985.
Always, now I'm going to go get the papers.
Yeah,
get the papers.
That's right. Never knocks the hustle. Always make sure he gets the point out there.
The best is just the sound of, like, silverware hitting plates.
Oh, sure.
That Sarge is popping food in his mouth while he's talking. Yeah, have him come show his face.
I just like, yeah, we had a big initiation for Marshall Hook. And Marshall's like, dude, what are you talking about?
He's like, I was original crew.
I'm going to say someone's name from the Sports Hub, okay? Give me your best insult, okay?
Insult?
Cut a promo on him, Sarge.
I don't think I'm really mean-hearted, but I'll try my best.
All right. Here we go. Why don't we start with Fred Toucher?
He's got lanky arms. Only a face a mother would love?
What about Bird? What do you think about Bird?
Someone's pulled out the W.C. Fields book of comedy.
What about Bird? What do you think about Bird?
Oh, Bird's the best. I love Bird.
Why do you
Bird,
like Bird so
and I
much?
Used to work together back in the day for competition. Year, many moons ago.
Did you used to cut bananas in the gym, too?
No. We were on the street team.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Now, you know what? Can you skip to the really short one first? Okay. So, Sarge's feeling good. He's walking Nick around and everything, and finally Nick goes down to eat. And from what I was told, Sarge goes up to Nick and taps the shoulder. Hey, press record on this. I got something I got to say. And this is what he said.
All right, what else do you have?
So, I mean, this is one of there's one fountain here. There's another one over there and another one in there. So, like, three fountains in the whole place? You could have a baptism in here.
You sure can.
Yeah.
All right, what else do you have?
So, I mean, this is one of there's one fountain here. There's another one over there and another one in there. So, like, three fountains in the whole place? You could have a baptism in here. You could have a baptism in here.
I might want to take that Kansas City radio comment I made earlier back.
Hey, I got something for you.
Hey, get ready for a joke. Here comes a good joke.
It's an observational joke.
Can you press record that? So, okay. I'm going to play that clip 1,000 times. Maybe even before 10. So, Marshall Hook, as you heard, is kind of slowly getting a little annoyed by things.
I don't think there's anything slow about it.
And, as you observed last night, right?
Yes, I was sitting there when this happened.
And finally he pops and goes, Nick, press record.
I went over here to vent to John about Sarge. Marshall, what do you think?
Nobody told me that. I mean, he won't shut up. He's acting like he's the godfather of the Kowloon, and like he is the one who has allowed us to all come in here and eat good food and drink. When in fact, that's Andy. Andy's the one who's doing it. And the first thing he said when he came in is to me, he said, oh, you didn't let me know you were coming. I'm like, well, yeah, that's right. I talked to Andy. I took care of it. I don't need Mike Riley to get me into the Kowloon. Nobody here needs Mike Riley to get them into the Cowboys. Nobody. But you're sitting next to the guy who purposely keeps situating himself in the middle of the table to be the guy. Please. Come on. Go get a full-time job. You know what? Focus on some stuff. Maybe get back to having a career of some sort or another and move on from being the Kowloon crew guy.
The dissension. I'll tell you what.
There are rifts in the Kowloon crew.
I'm telling you, Marshall Hook might end up with some cement shoes.
With duck sauce on
them. That's right. We found a napkin with duck sauce at the crime scene. Well, listen.
What else, yeah. So, I mean, this is one of there's one fountain here. There's another one over there and another one in there. So, like, three fountains in the whole place? You can have a baptism in here.
You sure can.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you got something quick?
I know, like a lot of people, yesterday I was following that Olivia Ambrose story. She was the 23-year-old who went missing on Saturday night. She was last seen at that bar Hennessy's over near Faneuil Hall. And she was with her twin sister. Her sister left early, and then she left. And there was all this talk. You know, no one could find her. And yesterday there was a picture that was taken out of a guy. It was a suspicious guy. It was one of the reasons that the story obviously was so fascinating is because that area for years now, how many missing people stories have come out of the TD Garden area, the Faneuil Hall area, except it's usually like young guys. Like most of it has been like college age guys who somehow go missing and they're not found again. And I know that the police have said things like, you know, they have wandered into the water, they were drunk, and then there have been other things. But I mean, it reminds me of when Nick, you know, said that he left one of the bars after a Bruins game and doesn't know how he ended up at the hospital.
Or when Adolfo fell down the escalator.
Well, I know why that happened. I mean, he had a lot of drink.
Pretty much A plus B equals C there. Yeah.
See, he had a lot of drink.
Nick was saying he didn't drink?
No, he had like a beer, like a beer, right? Two or three beers. Okay, yeah, but that's not enough to just not remember how you got in the hospital. So. Sure. The things, all of the details that have come out since the arrest yesterday are just unbelievable. So this guy, there was video of a guy that ended up putting his arm around her and like walking her to the State Street station, and it looks like he was leading her. They haven't said yet whether or not she was like too drunk and he was kind of weak, you know, kind of slowly manipulating where she walked, or if it was by force. That hasn't been released yet, and the pictures you couldn't really tell. But they released the photo, and they went to the house yesterday where this guy was in the Charlestown, the Bunker Hill Projects, and they ended up arresting this guy. She was there. Apparently, she's fine. But now details are coming out about this dude, and it is terrifying. It says, police have not determined yet if his last name is Pena, has a criminal record, Victor Pena, I think, but he is known to transit police. In an April 2009 incident, a woman told police that, this is from the Globe, that she was at Downtown Crossing when Pena began staring suggestively at her, according to an official with knowledge of his record. She got on the train and he followed her, sitting across from her. The woman said she thought he was trying to look up her skirt. The woman got off the train at Back Bay and Pena followed her. She told a customer service agent she needed help. And even after the agent called police, Pena remained at the station staring at Pacing. When police arrived, the official said Pena said he did not speak English. So when a Spanish-speaking officer arrived, Pena claimed the woman appeared afraid and they'd only been trying to ask her why she was scared. They did not arrest him that day. They checked him for warrants, found none, and let him go. A man who identified himself as a friend of Pena then approached police and told them that Pena was known to follow young girls and had mental health issues. A week later, another transit officer saw Pena at State Street Station pacing around and looking back and forth, the official said. Despite there being many open seats, Pena sat down directly next to two young girls. The transit officer walked over to ask what he was doing, and the girls said they did not know him. The officer asked Pena to leave the station. A city official said that Pena has lived in the Charlestown housing complex for 10 years. He's on Social Security disability but does not have a physical disability. He has no records of problems there. However, they started talking to some of the people that lived around there. Neighbors say they had recognized the man in the photos released by police, and they'd been concerned about his behavior. One of the women said that last week a man was staring at her 14-year-old daughter and making noises from his residence. Quote, "I just ran home because I didn't know what he was going to do," the girl said. Last year, the woman said she and her daughter were walking with friends in the neighborhood when the man started following them on his bike. The group tried to walk in the other direction from him several times, the woman said, but the man kept turning around to follow them while mumbling. This guy, Palvis Alvarez, who lives just up the street from Pena, said that one night he started to catcall her and get close to her when she got off work late and parked in front of her house. Alvarez said, quote, "It's the biggest, greatest news that Ambrose was found alive." And there's all these other stories coming out just about how this dude was really freaky, but he never did anything illegal, so you can't arrest him. And I just started thinking back of all the people that I know that I've lived near where you've always been like, this dude is going to do something weird at some point. And I know that he hasn't done anything illegal, but you ever had anyone that's lived near you that's kind of like the strange guy that has done things that are borderline and you know that at any moment they might snap?
I live in Newton.
Maybe you want to bring that over here.
Which is paradise. Yeah. But it's the bad side of Newton, isn't it?
No, where the other side. No, that's where Haggerty lives, is the bad side. Yeah, he lives on the good side.
Right? Think how much of Haggerty makes, please. You think you can afford to live with me?
He lives on the wrong side of the Whole Foods? Is that what you're saying?
Whole Foods, at least the one by me, is on Walnut Street and is far, far from the
riffraff
of the North Newton.
So, Nick, you never found out what happened to you that night. Did they
freaky.
Did they check your blood for, like, Rohypnol or something like that? Because you fit the stereotype at the time. You were college-aged. You were, like, by yourself. You were a guy. And you just lost track of time. Like you woke up 6 hours later. And what were you? Did you have any injuries? No. They just they found you at the hospital, like outside the hospital. Oh man, that is nightmare stuff. But that's where that's where they all disappear, is right around that area.
By the way, Nick was college age, not in college.
Ah, Nicholas, you're never gonna make anything of yourself.
Were you injured?
No.
So where did they find you when that happened?
In an alleyway.
Oh. Where?
Oof. Don't know where, but I got rushed. I was taken by an ambulance to Mass General.
And it was near Faneuil, or near where you were drinking?
Yes.
Okay, they found you in an alleyway?
Yes.
Okay.
That's no good.
And I was hungover, or I was just sick for the next 3 days. Like, really,
that's
really
a drug.
Sick.
You got drugged?
Yeah.
Somebody drugged you?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was you.
Well, we were drinking together that night.
Yeah, we were.
You know.
I wasn't there.
You weren't.
Just like college never let you in. All right. Well,
of course you didn't go willingly, but I just didn't know whether or not he said, "I'm taking you," or she was just drunk and it's kind of like.
Maybe he drugged her.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible, terrible thing. Good.
Awful.
To see.
Well, good for the police, man. Awesome. Yes,
absolutely. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines. The Patriots were mic'd up, and then Ray Lewis started talking.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.